This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news: is the repeal of Obamacare dead?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The message from the White House now to Republicans in the Senate. You all voted for repeal in 2015. You can do it again. And here's the catch. The president wants this passed through the Senate and the House by the August recess. He wants Obamacare gone by August the 11th.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The Senate should vote to repeal now and replace later, or return to the legislation carefully crafted in the House and Senate. But either way, inaction is not an option. Congress needs to do their job, and Congress needs to do their job now.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Yep. Let me just say at the beginning, I wish we weren't about to have this conversation on health care reform, but we are. So right now, of course, the majority leader just announced late last night about 11 o'clock or so that, in fact, he did not have the votes for repeal and replace. This is after waiting 7 years saying they were going to repeal and replace. So we're going to get into the leadership issue on how this all came back in the second half hour of the program. And I think we need to start with a general discussion as to what happened here. But let me just tell you this, as a lawyer that has been practicing law for almost 40 years, that has done cases at the Supreme Court of the United States, at the criminal courts, I've done trials all over the country. You have to have a plan, and you've got to be able to execute the plan. And what I think happened here was a failure to execute the plan on a very drastic schedule or a very drastic scenario. And that is, after 7 years of campaigning on repealing and replace, when you have the opportunity to do it, you couldn't put it together. And that, to me, is tragic is an understatement, but I think it's a leadership issue. But let's first talk about the political fallout, then I want to get to where we are.
Well, I think this is at a point, and listen, they're still saying they're going to have these other votes on straight repeal. Now, I want to be clear with everybody right now, because I don't think anybody has been with you. If you do a straight repeal through reconciliation, you're actually not repealing anything at all. It's on the books. Obamacare actually stays in place statutorily without any kind of fixes, and then that may be okay for 2 or 3 years. Okay, so yeah, it's okay for 3.5 years. So long as there's a Republican president, they can veto regardless of what happens in the House or the Senate. So that's fine. But guess what stays on the books? Obamacare, including the individual mandate. It's not replaced with anything. There's not a change in the regulatory system. They just, what it's called, zeroing out. So I don't think Senator Lee or Senator Paul have been honest with the American people about what they mean by a straight repeal. Right. A real repeal would require a 60-vote threshold.
Right.
So you'd have to get through a filibuster, which you're not going to do right now. You're not going to get 8 Democrats to go along with even letting that to the floor. And then the vote. This is pulling back all the regulations, but leaving them all on the books. So it's just like saying, we're not going to charge you taxes for this year, but we're going to leave it up to the political winds. It's kind of like an executive order. It can all be changed. And so I think that that's why the honest discussion is here. You can have different ways of getting to using reconciliation, different ways of getting to changing Obamacare. Yep. But none of these are taking away the regulatory structure, and it's not fair to say it is.
Yeah, I think that's I'm glad Jordan said that. Than, give us we only got about a minute here or 40 seconds. Give us kind of where you see it.
Last night's announcement by Mike Lee and Jerry Moran that they would not support this package have left us in a place, Jay, where they cannot even move to debate the bill. So what Leader McConnell has said is that he's going to try to move to the bill, and he's going to promise Mike Lee and the others that the First Amendment will be just the repeal portion. Again, Jay, we can get into the details, but this is the bill that all but one of the GOP senators in 2015 voted for. A number of them now are saying they're going to switch their votes. We'll see what happens.
All right, we're going to take your calls, except right now, Logan.
Yeah, phone lines are completely jammed. Clearly, this is something you guys want to talk about, and I understand why. As phone lines open up, hey, one just opened up, 1-800-684-3110. You give us a call. You can also get your comments in on social media, facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow, broadcasting live there right now. And once again, 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today.
All right, we're going to also take your calls. Also, support the work of the ACLJ. It's a matching challenge month. Your support makes a big difference to the American Center for Law and Justice. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for ACLJ.org. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Everyone, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, we are jammed up on phone lines. We have one line, and every time I say there's a line available, there's not. Yep. We're also getting a lot of comments in, and I'm reading some of these comments, and Logan is too, and our team is. Anything you want to start with on a comment?
Yeah, Heather said, "We the people are sick of this. Both parties need to get it together, deliver what we voted for. Why do we even vote?"
Okay, well, there's the frustration level of the American people. So let me start this with Dan. Let's talk about the procedure, if there was going to be a repeal, which, by the way, we think they should have that vote. It should be repealed. But we also are cognizant of the fact this is going to be a real uphill battle here.
Well, the caller's right on, because the Senate GOP did promise something, Jay. Procedurally, here's what's going to happen. The reconciliation package will have to pass what is called a motion to proceed. You need 50 senators to essentially open debate. If they can get 50 senators to open debate and get on the bill, the very first vote they will take is on an amendment to replace that bill with the bill that they already voted on in 2015. That is a repeal-only bill. And, Jay, again, we went over this in the break, but Susan Collins is the only sitting GOP senator that voted against that in the past. All of the others, except for three new ones who have already said they're okay with it, voted yes on this. The only way that would go down, Jay, is if Republicans in the Senate told their voters one thing and then came to Washington and did the opposite.
The vice president of the United States just addressed this, Mike Pence. I saw the vice president yesterday. By the way, on that point, let me just say that I asked you to continue to pray for the Andrew Brunson matter. Continue to pray for the Andrew Brunson matter involving that pastor in Turkey. And that's an aside on this, but we're working on that as well. Let me go ahead and play what Mike Pence said this morning.
The Senate should vote to repeal now and replace later, or return to the legislation carefully crafted in the House and Senate. But either way, inaction is not an option. Congress needs to step up. Congress needs to do their job, and Congress needs to do their job now.
I completely concur with everything the vice president said. I think he said it right. And remember, the president last week in an interview said he was ready to go. He was ready to sign the bill. Get it on his desk. Here's what he said.
Number one, repeal and replace. I am sitting in the Oval Office with a pen in hand waiting for our senators to give it to me.
So that was on repeal and replace. He's already tweeted out this morning on straight repeal. Let's go ahead and get that tweet up so people can see it in a moment that are watching on Facebook or Periscope. But, Logan, I think we should go ahead and let's take a phone call.
All right, a lot of them are coming in. Let's go to Steve, who's calling in West Palm Beach, Florida, I think dealing with what a lot of people are dealing with right now, line five.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good.
You know, I personally think the Republican Party is an embarrassment right now. I mean, for 7 years they whined about this. They didn't do anything. And the American people gave them what they wanted. The Republicans have complete control of Congress, and we're letting 48 senators and a few rogue Republican senators control what this president does. And I think Rand Paul and all of his cronies need to be replaced in the GOP primaries in 2018.
You know, I think this gets to that bigger issue, the whole filibuster. These are Senate rules. There's nothing in the Constitution about a filibuster. Could you change the rules? But here's the thing on this. Let's say you did. Can you still get to 50 votes with the vice president? I mean, that's not really the hurdle here is that if you had that clearly, I think that you could then have the discussion about rule changes. You know,
but you don't have that.
But you don't even have that.
But I mean, Steve brings up a really good point, and that is for 7 years the Republicans ran on repeal and replace. When they get the opportunity to do it, when they control the House, the Senate, and the White House, they can do it.
Even worse, today we're questioning whether that repeal language, which again doesn't even take it off the book statutorily, it zeroes it out.
Right.
Four of them who are now questioning whether they do this voted yes.
Right.
The only three who didn't vote, I think, are pretty much guaranteed. One is the new senator from Alabama who replaced Jeff Sessions, Luther Strange. I don't think that there's, I think he did an interview this morning on Fox Business. He's fine with that. Senator Kennedy in Louisiana, I don't think has an issue with that. Yeah. He did not love the current law, the legislation.
But he'd vote proposed. No. He'd vote yes.
And then Senator Young in Indiana. These are basically red states. So I don't think the issue is with them. It's with the people who've already voted yes.
Here's the
Shelley Moore Capito in West Virginia, Rob Portman in Ohio, Heller in Nevada, Moran in Kansas. I think Heller is the more moderate one of that group
still.
And up for re-election of kind of a bruising battle. But he's already voted for this.
Well, this is what I want to say. Than said this and we talked about this on Facebook and Periscope, but I want a radio on stage. I'd like to tweet this out. So with the no votes, when the Republicans voted to repeal, were those campaign votes or were those real votes? And I'm going to say that. I mean, I'm talking about what Than raised, and I think it's a legitimate point here. Was that a campaign vote or was it a real vote when you voted to a straight repeal on Obamacare? So, Than, let's kind of extrapolate off of that a little bit.
Well, if you switch the vote when it comes time to actually a vote meaning enactment, Jay, there's no other way to describe that than a campaign vote. Look, each of those senators that Jordan just named just a couple of years ago, we're talking about the last session of Congress, literally sent a repeal bill to President Obama knowing he would veto it. So they wanted their voters to think that that was the position they had. Jay, if they go to the floor next week or the week following and look at the same exact language and refuse to send it to President Trump, there's only one reason for switching that vote, and it's because they know that President Trump would sign it. So there's no other way to land than that they were campaigning on one thing and they are governing on another. There's no other way to look at it.
Logan, I'm looking at the Facebook comments, and people are none too happy about this.
No, people I think are really upset. I think we've kind of educated a lot of the people who maybe would have been initially for this to realize that what they're getting sold a bill of goods is not correct. And a lot of people are upset. A lot of people are upset that they think that they've been abandoned. They made this big vote. They got all three branches in, and sorry.
Yeah.
Now, there is some politics to this. This happened once in the House, and everyone, this was kind of similar reaction. We came back live on Facebook, I remember, to discuss it with people. And then we came back to it when they actually ended up voting for it. There is some aspect of this. Remember, Mitch McConnell has said you're going to have to stay through August. We're in mid-July. The political backlash that may be now falling on some of these senators by making this kind of public move, Than, and by going out there and saying, we're in this situation now, we can't move forward. And you allow the backlash to kind of continue for 2 weeks, because we already know nothing would happen until Senator McCain is back in D.C. anyways. Is that part of the politics at play here? So people like Shelley Moore Capito in West Virginia and Rob Portman in Ohio and Dean Heller in Nevada and Jerry Moran in Kansas, who already voted for this, can't get away that their constituents – I mean, we're talking about West Virginia, Nevada, Ohio. These are all states that Donald Trump won handedly, and – the idea is that, are their constituents going to basically blow up on this issue, and you put the political pressure back on them? I know it doesn't. It's not a pretty picture to have this, but I remember a very similar speech and press release from Paul Ryan.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely part of the politics, Jordan. It might be ugly, but look, it's the part of the way that our government works. And the good news is it puts the power in the voters. And if the voters of Ohio and West Virginia and Nevada want a repeal of Obamacare, those are the senators that have to be heard from. And I do think you're right on the timing of it. And I would just say one final thing. It's not just about the moderates. They're the ones that have the hypocrisy over the 2015 bill. But look, if the Lees and the Cruz and the Pauls of the world are fighting for one thing and the moderates are fighting for another, and Jordan, they can't come to a consensus between those two positions, you know what wins? Obamacare wins. We get Obamacare, and all of the American people that sent the president and the GOP Senate here to change that, they lose.
Well, I think, look, the American people are the ones losing in all this because the health care is out of control, the cost of health care is out of control, and the Republicans haven't done anything to put it in place here. It's disappointing is an understatement. Then I was at your office yesterday, we were talking about this. I mean, we spent a long time talking about this. We were afraid this is where it was going. Logan, can we try to squeeze in another call here? I know it's only 2 minutes.
Yeah, we can try.
Let's try.
Let's go to Kevin really quick in Alabama.
Hey, Kevin. Go ahead.
Hello. I have a couple of quick questions.
Sure.
I agree that something should be done
right.
About Obamacare, but I do have a question. Why would we repeal and not replace, understanding that to do so would affect so many people?
Well, it doesn't, because the repeal is going to be a repeal that's going to be effective basically in what? They're talking about it.
Well, it's all based on politics. So it's kind of like an executive order, which is, it could be effective for the next 7 years.
No. He's talking about what's going to happen. The initial repeal plan they were talking about was a repeal plan with a window of about 24 months for
this
some
still
kind
has
of,
that. This yeah. still has. So this repeal plan that they're talking about now,
yeah.
it's still for 2 years.
It stays in place.
Everything stays in place.
Yeah. So
and
doesn't.
Statutorily, it's not going anywhere. So politically, you may see some ramifications of this after the next election cycle.
Maybe.
So before the next presidential election,
yep.
but the next president, if that were to change,
right?
So if it's not President Trump there, and ultimately it won't be. You know, I mean, one day it will not even.
Well, that's why
elected
the statutory
twice.
Change has to happen,
right? And that this yep. doesn't do that. So this idea, this is now we're at full repeal, not
Still
really.
Not true.
Someone should press Mike Lee and Rand Paul on that a little bit
yep.
when they do these interviews on TV, where they get to go to get away with saying that.
Yep. All right, Logan.
Phone lines are completely jammed.
Not a line open.
No, but we'll take some of the comments that are coming in. You know, it's never busy online, so you can always join us on Facebook and Periscope. You get your comments in that way. We'll take some of those comments during the break coming up. Yeah, right now, all the lines are completely jammed. Some of you guys have been hold for a while. Some are brand new. The ones have been hold for a while. We'll try to get to you coming up in the next segment. But again, give us a call when the lines open up, 1-800-684-3110. And again, you can find us broadcasting on Facebook and Periscope.
All right, we'll be back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110 in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-9-LAW.
989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Can't you see? One of my all-time favorites, a little tune there by the Jay Sekulow Band. We may play that during one of the, with our friend Ricky Skaggs. We'll play that as a little break during one of the, for Facebook and Periscope. All right, radio audience, you're calling. We've got questions, a lot of them. I just tweeted out, was the vote when you, GOP, when the vote in 2015 to repeal Obamacare, were those taken? Were those campaign votes or real votes? I'm sure there's a hashtag something. What is that? What is the actual tweet, Logan? Might maybe
that's right. The tweet just went out and said, when GOP voted in 2015 to repeal Obamacare, were those campaign votes or real votes? Repeal Obamacare. So.
All right, there you go. It's out. All right, one line open, 800-684-3110. I'm going to go right back to the phones.
All right, hold on. I got to go. I was just tweeting, so I got to find it. Okay, let's go to Robert, Maryland. Massachusetts, line three.
Hi, guys. Thanks for all your service.
Thank you.
My question is, will this bill affect Planned Parenthood?
It could. So you could still, you can go this route. I mean, that's what I'm saying. To say it's so different, it's not so different than what was already proposed, because this is all through reconciliation. So you're not changing statutes on the books. We've been clear about that with the other legislation. We've always said this, you know, it's a three-step process. If you use reconciliation, which is the only way anything will get through the Senate right now that's partisan like this, because you're not going to get any Democrats to even vote to allow this to go to the floor. So there is, you can, and Than, that language is there on this. So, I mean, if they go that route, I say, fine, just be honest about what it is, because you can defund Planned Parenthood, though you do have to get through the amendment process. And as you were saying this morning when we were discussing this, it could even be tougher to do.
Yeah, it could. I mean, this is on this very narrow language, Jordan. This is why we fought this issue in 2015, because we got that Planned Parenthood language added to the 2015 bill. So when they take this amendment to make the 2015 bill what goes forward, the Planned Parenthood language is actually one of the very few things in addition to repeal that is in there. So that's very good news for our listeners. But to your point about an amendment, it's also an unlimited amendment process. So I can tell you with certainty that Senator Collins and Senator Murkowski will offer an amendment to strip that Planned Parenthood language. It will depend on whether or not the other 50 GOP senators come to the floor with the tie-breaking vote of the vice president to retain that language. So it's in the bill, good news, but you do have to fight to keep it in there.
I would say this, because this in our first half hour of the broadcast, the senators who people are watching right now, there are five of them in total. One of them, Susan Collins in Maine, already voted no on this. Okay, so she's not hiding where she is. She didn't try to get away with a political vote. She said no. She's the most moderate.
Yep.
I mean, in most red states, she would be a liberal, really. I mean, but in Maine, she's still part of the Republican Party. It's a big tent.
Right.
Okay. The other four, though, all voted for this. So I say, hey, for our Kansas listeners, for Jerry Moran, you need to call his office right now. Just pick up your phone and call. It's 202-224-3121, and you say, I want to talk to Jerry Moran's office. Flood the phone lines in his Kansas office. Rob Portman, also, and he's already come out with a statement, I don't think I can do this, but you could in 2015. What's the difference? Oh, because President Obama was there to veto it, and President Trump would actually put this into law? Why do you, Will, is our producer says, why run for office if you can't cast a vote? Like, Rob Portman's not even that good of a speaker. I mean, you know, he's not like the most charismatic guy on earth. He's now what's he doing in Washington D.C.? I mean, if he's a good legislator, I get it.
This is
but they're not. They don't even want to cast a vote that's somewhat controversial in their state. They try to play everybody up. So call his office. I know we got a lot of Ohio listeners on the line. It's the same number you call and you just ask for his office, 202-224-3121. I know we have a lot of Alaska listeners. We get Alaska callers all the time. So call Lisa Murkowski. She's Miss Moderate, right? She voted yes on this.
Yep.
So she's like next to Susan Collins, but she had no problem voting for a full repeal with no replacement. Okay? She went along with that when it was an easy thing and she could run an ad for it in Alaska. But now, when it could actually become law, and I remember doing the radio broadcast where we said it was a big deal for them to even take that vote and defund Planned Parenthood, all of those things, because it put them on the record.
Yeah, well,
remember,
now
we
on
said
the
that
record.
In 2015.
Well, now
they
the
are.
Yeah.
And this continues. West Virginia, Shelley Moore Capito. We got the
already
callers
said
from
she's
there.
She's not voting for repeal without replacement.
Call her
different
office.
Than she did in 2015.
You need to complain because she did it. 202-224-3121. And I don't think you have to be real polite this time. Same with Dean Heller in Nevada, who's already trying to make up
excuses.
Jordan's
a little frustrated, can you tell?
Dean Heller is trying to make up excuses about his campaign office and, oh, it's so, you know, it's a volatile. You are a U.S. senator. People will complain. You may get threats. People may not always love you. But if you go out on TV every single day, which is what they do, and pitch a fit on this issue and that issue, you've already voted for it once. So don't be a hypocrite. And that's what I think. Just remind your elected officials. If you actually want to see this done, they actually keep tallies in their office about how many people called. So you need to call if you're from those states
let me make
it very clear.
Let me say something we're going to address in the second half hour of this broadcast. Leadership. Because this is a complete failure of leadership on multiple fronts. And we'll bring in Dr. Andrew Economo and, of course, our senior military analyst, Wes Smith, who have both been leaders in various different career capacities. And, I mean, I will tell you something. As someone that leads organizations and leads cases, this is not how you win a case. This is not how you win a case. I'm going to try to grab one more call in, and then I've got an announcement to make on a case, a good announcement on one of our cases.
All right, let's go to Robert, who is calling in California on line 5.
Hey, Robert, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I'm an MS patient, multiple sclerosis, and I have been for a number of years, and I used to have fantastic coverage. And I'm literally paying 11 times for insurance what I used to pay now. And I get really tired of all of these senators and congresspeople coming forward and saying, oh, but people with MS will be so harmed by these bills, when I'm the one who's been harmed so badly already.
Well, first of all, Robert, let me tell you this. I really appreciate the call. Sorry you're going through this, and I pray for you. I have friends that have MS. I know it's a very, very it's a tough disease, but we'll pray for you and think about you on this. But look, I'm glad you called, because this is the reality. And you're talking about 11 times the increase in just, what, 7 years? 11 times increase for Robert's health care coverage. This is not sustainable. And this is where Jordan, I agree with what Jordan and Than and Logan have been saying. You got to take a vote and take a stand here. You know, when I get to argue cases at the Supreme Court, or when I'm arguing cases before international tribunals, you know what the answer is? It's yes or no. I don't get to say, well, you know, I said yes before, but now I really mean no. That's not the way it works. You have a position, you advocate for that position, win, lose, or draw, you advocate for the position, and that's what leadership is about at the end of the day. Let me say this, talking about leadership. We filed a massive case against the Internal Revenue Service. You remember that, representing all those conservative and Tea Party groups. I'm happy to report that after 8 years, the Albuquerque Tea Party has been granted its final tax-exempt status by the IRS. It only took a federal lawsuit and a trip to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, and then another series of appeals inside the IRS to get it. But I'm happy to report we got it for them. And that makes a big difference, because freedom of speech, freedom of association, freedom of assembly, that's what this constitutional republic's based on. And let's not forget that. So it was a hard-fought case. We're still litigating, by the way, against the IRS. And we had a great victory at the Court of Appeals. We're not done. We're not letting them off the hook. I said it's an agency I don't think that can successfully self-correct here. All right, we'll be taking more calls. We've got a lot more ahead. Logan's going to let you know how you can stay engaged.
That's right. If you don't get us on your broadcast station, the full hour of JSEC Live, you can get the second half hour broadcasting live right now online, aclj.org, facebook.com/JSECulo. Just look the latest post. You'll see it's a live video. You can also find us on Twitter at JSECulo Broadcasting, or on Periscope. You get us archived on the ACLJ app, which is available in the App Store for iPhone, iPad, also on Roku.
.org, you can find out new information now about a lawsuit against the NSA and the Susan Rice information on unmasking. We just filed that in federal court.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.
Yeah.
that's the thing. Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We've got a couple things we want to start with. We've been talking about the healthcare issue. In a moment, we'll be joined by some of our leaders here at the ACLJ to talk about what leadership is like this and why this is a bit of a fiasco, to say that I think a complete failure of leadership is what it is. I tweeted out that, you know, was this a real vote or a campaign vote when they voted to repeal this in 2015? Did they vote yes on repeal because they knew that President Obama would veto it? Is that the real reason they did it? So we'll talk about that. I do want to report that we filed a massive lawsuit against the IRS at the ACLJ, huge lawsuit, complaining about what they did internally and externally in procedures and policies and constitutionally as related to targeting the conservative and Tea Party groups. I'm happy to report the last group left in the case received, after 8 years, its approval from the IRS, finally granted tax-exempt status by the IRS. We had to go to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. We won there. Then we had to go back inside the IRS and do an internal appeal there, and our team won there. And we're still litigating against the IRS on the policy issues, but this was a nice win. And Jordan wants to announce a brand-new lawsuit that the ACLJ has filed.
It's up at aclj.org, so you can get into all the details there. But we filed a FOIA,
Freedom of Information Act,
previously, yep, with the NSA. We actually got expedited review of this. So the NSA actually responded to our FOIA request for documents pertaining to the unmasking and Susan Rice. You know, all of this, it was been reported widely in the news. So it's not asking for anything that wasn't already there. Obviously, the NSA, not easy on these issues. But they actually responded back to us, Dad, and said, we've actually put you in the expedited review process. But then, no more response. So after a time period, you then, after you filed this, you have to go through the process. You could take them to federal court. So now we have on the record the NSA saying expedited review
and then
of our FOIA.
Time.
Never even responding, saying we can't allow this because it's classified or this information. So now we filed a lawsuit against the NSA in federal court. There's not many organizations that would even file a lawsuit against the National Security Administration. I can think of maybe one or two others in existence. Just like we took on the IRS, these are usually the organization entities within the government that no one wants to mess with. We're not afraid to mess with them and take them to court at the Americans for Law and Justice.
Absolutely right. All right, Logan, you're getting a lot of comments. Phone lines are jammed. We'll try to take a call this segment. But phone lines are jammed. We're getting a lot of comments. Yes. People are not happy.
Yeah, I mean, this is like Lindsay said. Maybe we need to vote out the incumbents who are not taking us seriously when we tell them what we want, and what we want is to repeal Obamacare. So it's interesting to hear that the frustration has gone beyond frustration now. It's not just, once again, foiled again. It's no, there's no one to blame except kind of yourself. So it's a situation that I think people are just...
Is that pretty much uniform what you're saying? I think, because I'm trying to look at it.
Yeah,
as
more so
through.
Than I thought it would be. I thought we'd have a lot of people who are excited about this. We talked about this in our pre-show meeting, that there has been sort of a conservative backlash against this concept in general. So maybe this would appease someone. We kind of were like, let's make sure we're satisfy our audience, make sure we explain to them what exactly happened. They don't seem to need the explanation. They understand. And I think that says a lot about our audience and what we've kind of taught them over the last year, which is don't play into the hype.
Right.
When you have these opportunities, take them. And unfortunately, we're seeing that not happen. But you want to take a call?
Yeah, go ahead.
We only got a minute and a half. But, let's do it. Let's go to Beverly on line 6.
Beverly, go ahead. We got you in. Go ahead. You're opposed. That's good. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking
my
call.
Sure. Absolutely.
I'm a nurse, and I worked for 27 years as a nurse. Then I moved from where I'm living now into another state and got a job working at a hospital. However, when I got hired, I realized I had cancer. Mm. I was told by my insurance company that because I was hired with pre-existing condition, they could not give me health care until 2 years. Mm. I got a letter from my doctor stating in 2 years I will be dead.
Yeah, but that was under – now, Beverly, believe me, I'm really sorry to hear this, obviously. So, but here's the issue. That was insurance you would have had under Obamacare, and they were not covering a pre-existing condition?
It did not cover the pre-existing condition.
Because the plan that the Republicans had actually made sure that pre-existing conditions were covered. Sorry to hear that.
No one likes to hear a situation like that, but it doesn't add up to what the law – existed for. I mean, I haven't heard anyone.
I would go back. Let me give you some.
Company.
Hey, Beverly, you need to contact that insurance company. I don't think they're right with what they're telling you. I know they can be difficult to work with, but contact them back and let us know what happens on that, because that's not, even under Obamacare, those should have been covered. That they should have not told you that. All right, back with more in a moment.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, to say that the frustration level is a little high would be an understatement. The American people not too happy about this. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. And this, of course, is the debacle known as the repeal and replace of Obamacare. And now just be known as the repeal of Obamacare. It may be known as no action taken. I want to go to Than quickly for an update. Then I want to bring Wes and Annie into the conversation. Give everybody a procedural. What's going to happen next if this repeal vote goes forward, Than? And by the way, we're close to getting Than back on video. The studio is being redone. I saw it yesterday. Getting very close. And Than will look like us. It looks good, and it's going to look more like this, which will be nice. Go ahead, Than.
Well, the first vote on this, Jay, is going to have to be an agreement to actually open debate. I mean, if they can't even open debate on this, it's a sad state of the GOP Senate. But you do have to have 50 votes to even proceed to the bill. And to Jordan's point, it really keys on five senators. Will Jerry Moran, Rob Portman, Lisa Murkowski, Shelley Moore Capito, and Dean Heller vote like they did in 2015 and allow this debate to open? Or will they switch their votes and kill the thing altogether? That's really as simple as it is.
And by the way, this is a follow-up on what Jordan was just saying. We said, call your senators, call them now. Here's what NARAL just tweeted out. Republican leadership wants to repeal, hashtag repeal Obamacare with no replacement. Call your senator and tell them to hashtag save our care.
Yeah,
so the other side's mobilized here.
The left is not taking this thing down because it's not over. I mean, Chuck Schumer was out this morning right away. This is actually more dangerous to them than the other legislation. It actually puts their people in a tougher spot, that which would be fine if we knew that we could get to the votes necessary, part one of this. Remember how I kept saying on this broadcast, I mean, I've said it like over and over again, if you can get the initial part of this undone,
right,
Obamacare, the Democrats will start coming on board slowly. There'll be a couple here, a couple there, because their constituents will force it. They will have to do things to protect their people, to help their people. But you've got to get there. And the problem that's standing in the way right now, Democrats can all you want, you know, say about them, but it's at least four or five of these Republicans who are the problem. And we gave out the number once. I'll give it to you again, because if you live in Kansas and where Jerry Moran is, or Susan Collins in Maine, because even though she's the only one who voted no once, I think it's worth giving her a call for our Maine audience. For Jerry Moran in Kansas, Rob Portman in Ohio, Murkowski in Alaska, Shelley Moore Capito in West Virginia, and Dean Heller in Nevada, who's made a big deal about all of this. We've seen real problems. We've seen the congressional baseball. We saw that activity in Alexandria. He's tried to put out, you know, I got a threat in my office if I repeal Obamacare, so people are going to do these horrible things. I think that, you know, he's in a tough reelection battle. There's a lot going on there. But reminder, Heller, Capito, Murkowski, Portman, and Moran all voted already once before
right,
a year ago to do just this, and now they're issuing statements saying they won't. So give them a call, 202-224-3121.
All right, let's do this. I want to get a call ready, Logan, and I want to talk to Andy and Wes. Let me start with Wes. You've been in the combat field. You're currently in the United States Army. I do cases. Andy and I do cases all over the globe. You got to have a plan. You got to execute the plan. You got to have leadership. It seems like none of that happened here.
It does. It's really disappointing. And I think these uncooperative Republican senators, they're allowing the perfect to become the enemy of the good. And one of the hallmarks of failure is when leaders become risk averse. There's a certain amount of daring required in order to accomplish big things and to be a leader. And the lack of daring on the part of some of these GOP senators who torpedoed this is evident. And it makes their criticism of Obamacare, and they've all been very vocal about this, it makes it seem hollow and disingenuous because of this.
Let me ask you this, and I think this is part of the scenario, Andy. When you and I plan cases here in the United States or around the globe, and we've done them with big legal teams, you have a plan. You put things together. You execute the plan. You have a plan A and a plan B, obviously. Here it seems like, I mean, Jordan pointed this out. They voted no on repeal in 2015, evidently because it didn't count, because they knew Obama would veto it. But it seems like there's just no plan here of engagement.
No, there isn't.
So no leadership.
And that's what that really frustrates me, is the fact that we don't have leadership. Look, the president of the United States, who won overwhelmingly rejecting the attitude of the left, rejecting the politics of the left, ran on a platform of let us repeal and replace Obamacare. That was a clear signal, his election was, to the people of the United States, that we don't want this plan anymore. We want something different. And Republican senators who got elected based upon President Trump's appeal toward the repeal and the replacement of Obamacare need to wake up and realize this, and the leadership of the Republican Party needs to realize this. We don't want this, and we want them to get in there and vote the way that the president has indicated he wants to go, and the nation has followed suit.
Well, Logan, I am looking at the comments that are, I'm not seeing the Periscope comments, I know you are. The comments coming in here, people are, Republicans will not band together for this. What are they going to band together for? I mean, these are good comments. People are really upset.
Said, we do best remember this when it's vote time. And a lot of people are saying, vote them out, vote them out. That's the comments that are coming in. So, again, because you want people obviously to represent your values, your point of view, your thought process. But what we're seeing is that doesn't really matter for a lot of people. I think you're seeing genuine frustration. So not only are they saying that maybe they won't vote for these people, maybe they won't vote at all. We're getting a lot of those comments. A lot of people are really angry.
I want to say this. You know, politics, and it's not different in leadership. I mean, politics, like leadership, is the art of the possible. What can you get done? When you've got an objective, you set for the objective, realizing this is the parameters of what I can do with this army unit I have, with this battalion, with this group of lawyers, with this case, whatever it might be. This is what I can do.
Right. And the principles of leadership apply not only in the military, but in the corporate world, in politics, wherever, you know, leaders are there and people are following. And I was thinking about it today, because in the military, when we had operations and campaigns, we had certain steps we followed. And they have followed some of these. For example, you come up with the commander's intent or the end state. What is it you want to accomplish? And that's key.
Yeah, we do that in a Supreme Court case or any appellate case. You know, what is victory? Define victory here.
And they have already said what it is. Repeal and replace Obamacare.
Yeah.
And so they are really coming right up to the execution of the plan, and they're backing away from it. And so you can say that they have messed up the process of getting this done. But beyond that, Jay, leadership is about relationships. And true leaders, they both inspire and coerce in order to get things done. And I think probably Mitch McConnell is a nice guy, and some of the other leadership in the Senate. But the inspiration and the coercion doesn't seem to be happening.
All right, we're going to take a call in a moment, but I want to go to Jordan, because it's very important what Wes just said. Let's talk about the politics of this. What happened here?
What happened is that senators who were fine to do this when they knew President Obama would veto it are weak-kneed. These are again, the reason why people don't like politics, the reason why Donald Trump is president of the United States, is people like this. They put on their suits and ties and their nice outfits. They give speeches. And they ask people for money and then they don't do anything.
Right.
I mean, Shelley Moore Capa, that was a really contested election. She probably received millions of dollars from outside of her state.
For this.
Conservatives. Yes. For Obamacare. Dean Heller. Rob Portman's case. I mean, these were people literally who got through because of this issue. It's the only reason they even beat a Democrat. And when they actually have to vote on it, they're weak. These are always the ones that are issues. This is the issue list of the Republican Party, if you want to go through it. But at least Susan Collins isn't a fake. You know, she didn't vote for this the first time. Mm-hmm. She's not lying to her constituents about, I will repeal Obamacare, and voting yes when they can't actually get it done, but not voting yes when they can.
All right, Than, quickly here, your take on what – I want people to know what is going to happen next. What's going to happen next year?
They're going to try to move to this bill, and the very first vote they would take, which is on the 2015 bill. And to Wes and Jordan's point, leadership told us the art of the possible, and they communicated it, Jay, by taking a vote. And the people that Jordan's talking about took that vote as well. I would just make one comment about leadership here. If they were going to deviate from that plan that they already proved was going to work, then they had to get it over the line. They didn't do it. That's a failure of leadership, Jay.
Yeah. No, that's what I think this is at the end of the day. I think this is a failure of leadership. All right, Logan, do we have time for one quick call?
William and Macon, let's go to
Hey, William, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Jay.
Yep.
I'm going to be real quick with this right here. I mean, it's hard to ascertain the fact that these Republicans don't even know what they're doing or the fact that they're doing this out of fear. I think there's corrupt motives behind this.
Well, I think it's a complete, you know, look, I mean, I sent out a pretty aggressive tweet. You know, was it a campaign vote or was it a real vote? And apparently it was a campaign vote. Not all of them, by the way.
Everyone seems to agree with you.
How's that doing, that tweet?
I don't know how it's doing, but I saw the comments were coming in were saying, yeah, we know. It was all a campaign vote. And I think they see through the lies now. They just see it's a bunch of cowards.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, this is, look, a lot of programs are going to call it. We're going to call it like it is.
And we've been, I think, fair to the other side. Is it the Senator Lees, the Senator Pauls, who now have gotten what they, quote, wanted? We're telling everybody this was a straight-up repeal vote when it's not.
Right.
Someone should add, these are smart guys. One's a doctor, one is an attorney. Okay, ask them straight up, you mean that it won't be on the books? And if they tell you yes, then they don't even know what they're talking about. If they tell you no, then they have to explain to people what they're really talking about when they say, give me a straight-up or down repeal vote when, that's great for 3 years. And then guess what's not repealed? Obamacare. It's on the books.
All right, Logan, we're going to be back here for the last segment of the broadcast. Flown by today.
And no lines are available, but they may open up 1-800-684-3110. You can always get your comments in on social media. We'll try to take some of those during the break. If you're not watching online, it's a great way to do it because you get to see us, talk to us, and the show never ends. Here you go. No commercial breaks online. Find that on Facebook and Periscope. And also, you can find everything at aclj.org. We'll be right back with the last segment of JSEC Yield.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Broadcast, everyone, taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Andy, we were talking right before we went to break, and we're going to get right to your calls in a moment here, that when we've tried cases, I mean, we've always had an A, B, and you always have a backup plan. Witness doesn't go like you think it's going to go. Evidence comes in differently. And then it's like here, it was, this didn't happen, which they never knew. They always knew it was never going to be by a large margin. You were talking about one or two votes. And it's like, oh, now what do we do? Oh, repeal. Will that work? I don't know. Maybe it will. And you're blaming it on the majority.
I have to tell you, I blame it on the leader. The leader is the leader, Leader McConnell. That's what they call him, the Republican leader. He's supposed to be up there leading the troops and telling them, you got here because President Trump's coattails brought you here. And the mandate that the president said is very clear. Repeal and replace this abhorrent Obamacare that the community organizer got through as his premier piece of legislation. Well, what is the message that they're getting? Apparently nothing. The electorate is going to give them that message, though, when the time comes, I predict.
All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call, Logan.
Yep, continuing on, let's go to Donna in Arkansas on line four. You're on the air.
Hi, Donna.
Hi. I have a question. Under Obamacare, yep, they said the senators had the chance to exempt themselves from Obamacare.
Right.
So I was wondering, if this repeals, will that mean that they will start getting Obamacare?
Nope.
No, they're still exempt from that, all of that.
Yeah.
Remember, this legislation through the House, they said this can apply to us. Now, the Senate, the way this would work...
No, I don't think so.
I mean, there would be no... The Obamacare would be statutorily still in the books, but there'd be nothing left.
Yeah,
so
no enforcement.
Apply or not, it wouldn't really matter. But understand, likely in this scenario... If this stays where the votes are right now, and this doesn't move forward, doesn't pass,
yeah,
then these guys are still exempt, but we're all having to deal with it.
But then you just said that Obamacare would still stay, even on the repeal, stays in place for 2 years, so nothing really changes for them.
Yeah, Jordan said it exactly right. In that two-year phase-in process, Congress, both the House and Senate, would continue to be exempt from Obamacare, and the rest of us would be dealing with it.
All right, let's go. Let's try to get some more calls here, and we'll continue to take as many as we can.
All right, let's go to Bonnie, who's calling in Houston, Texas, line one. You're on the air.
Hi, Bonnie. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got a question. We keep talking about some of these exchanges that pulled out completely,
yep,
of some of these counties. So what are those people doing for insurance? Are they just having to go to an emergency room?
They're going to the emergency room, which is supposed to be the exact opposite of what was going to happen under Obamacare, but it's happened at an increasing rate. People are going to the emergency room to get care, which was not what was supposed to happen, but that's exactly what has happened. But I want to go back to, and I appreciate your call, Bonnie, the fundamental issue here at the end of the day was leadership, a failure of leadership. That is what's happened here. And I want you to be clear on that, a failure of leadership. Wes, this was, if you said this, I think, during the break, if this was in the military and you had this kind of colossal failure, what would happen to that commander?
You would be relieved of command. You absolutely would. This is colossal mission failure. And it appears that the GOP senators either do not respect or do not fear, you know, this the majority leader in the Senate. And he has failed to rally his troops and to accomplish the mission. And it would not be tolerated, not only in the military, this would not be tolerated in corporate America if, yeah, a CEO failed this way.
The New York Times stand is reporting, you know, breaking right now.
Okay.
You already have Collins and Murkowski now who have said no.
Yeah.
Along with Capito, so that's dead. I read Capito's statement. I didn't get the no part. I got a, at this time I can't, if there's a replacement plan in place, which doesn't even mean the replacement plan gets a vote.
Because Obamacare is staying in place.
A lot of this is playing with politics. So are they jumping too far, these news outlets, or have they seen a statement from the fake news that makes this correct? Because I read the Capito statement. You could kind of take from it that she's leaning against it, but it's, and she said, at this time I can't, but we know at this time there's not even a vote happening. So a lot can change. I believe Senator Collins, Murkowski, you know, mm-hmm, those are the two. But then, is this legit that's breaking from the New York Times?
Well, first of all, I agree with your assessment that they're jumping to conclusions. They are reaching too far. The vote has not been called. I will tell you this, Jordan. I suspect that there will be more than two Republican senators that come out as no on this. But guess what? You don't really know if they're no or not until you have the vote on the motion to proceed. Because remember, that's not the final vote. That is a vote on asking senators on whether or not they are willing to debate this. So you might see Susan Collins or Lisa Murkowski or whoever say they're a no, but the first vote they have to take is, are you willing to even debate this? I think some of those no votes
when will that
might
vote
be
take,
yes.
When is that vote going to take place then?
It depends a lot on John McCain, Jay. It could happen as early as next week, but it depends on when John McCain is healthy enough to take that vote.
I'm hopeful. You know, if you had a week to plan your trial strategy, which we've had in cases, in some cases you don't, some cases you have months, some cases you have minutes. You need to have that game plan, Andy, put together.
Well, you would think so, wouldn't you? I mean, really, you don't think that you go into court and not know who your witnesses are and what they're anticipating saying, and if they change their testimony on the witness stand, how you can rehabilitate that witness or how you can bring one in to counter them. It seems there's no plan here. It seems we just sort of bumbled into this situation. It backfired on us. It didn't work out the way that we intended to, and now we don't know what we're supposed to do or say.
Yep. All right, let's take another call, Logan.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Daniel in Dallas, Texas.
Hi, Daniel, go ahead.
Hey, Jay, congratulations on your IRS.
Oh, yeah, we won. By the way, for those that don't know, we won the Albuquerque Tea Party. Was the last holdout by the IRS, and after 8 years of both litigating it in court and internal appeals within the IRS, the Albuquerque Tea Party received their tax-exempt status. By the way, we're glad that it's a win, but it's absolutely outrageous that it took 8 years to get it there. I mean, think about that. Almost a decade. Think about that. Two trips in court, including to the D.C. Court of Appeals. I mean, this is absurd.
And it's those were constant. I mean, there were two major, but I mean, this is like hearing easy. After hearing, hearing after yep. hearing
ridiculous.
After hearing. After hearing after hearing. And the government, that's you know, they got unlimited resources, your
so
federal
keep,
government.
But you just keep pounding.
And another guy shows up and another guy shows up. But finally,
but we won.
You know, you get to the point where the IRS has no excuses anymore.
And they have to do it.
And I think that they're facing the pressure for the
IRS. Will just said this. It's true.
Almost, they got defunded by Congress.
Yep.
But not, you know, not Obamacare.
Will said, we've been fighting for that case longer than Obamacare has been around. That's true. Daniel, Logan. Daniel, finish that. Let's see the rest of your question.
Yeah, well, I was hoping you'd let me ask a question about Robert Mueller, but I called in about health care.
Okay.
And I say congratulations about the IRS because it put chills on my
appreciate it. All right, go ahead with your question about
health care. On the health care issue, I have a friend that's been dwindled down to one provider. He called every doctor on the provider's list.
Yep.
None of them even took it anymore. He's in Dallas. Baylor and the local county, Parkland, would take it. So, I mean, these legislators need to know that it's not just that people don't have providers.
No, I understand. Look, I understand exactly what you're saying and exactly what the problem is. And this is why we are urging some leadership here. And, again, it's not going to be an easy task. Logan, I don't think we have time.
It's up to you. No. All right, we're done. All right, sorry that was the hold. No one held that long, so I don't feel as bad for you. But thank you, Rachel, Terry, Dominic, Gretchen, for holding. Sorry we didn't get to your calls today. We appreciate it, though. If you do want to catch up on the show and you want to hear more, you can find us on ACLJ.org and as well as on social media, Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at ACLJ. And you can find us broadcasting each and every day here, online, and on the ACLJ app.
And Jordan, you'll keep everybody posted as things are developed.
Remember to call Senator Moran, Portman, Murkowski, Capito, and Heller, 202-224-3121.
You could be one of those voices.
Our broadcast is over, so pick up your phone and call them now.
All right, folks, that'll do it for the broadcast today. As the things warrant and develop, we will get back to you. And again, let me encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Your support makes a big difference. But again, aclj.org, and we'll keep you posted as things develop. But it looks mighty uphill battle here on this whole issue. Back with more on this tomorrow. Talk to you then.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200.
Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.